Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. And don't forget to access this show and other shows at KXORadio.com.
Wow, figure I know. To follow up the perfect intro with the perfect guest introduction. We are joined today by Jessica Martinez. She's a social worker for the Adult Day Out program. And you know, huge resource for the community because, A, we got a lot of old people.
You and I will be old when
B,
one
there's
of these days.
Nowhere for them to play.
Will be.
Will be.
Tunk, yeah. And she meant you and her, not me. I've crossed over. Old people, elders.
Elderly.
Elderly,
adults with disabilities.
Love it. Senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a demographic. Have somewhere to go, particularly people with disabilities, because it's really, you know, one of the things that really shuts down your life when as you age is not being able to get out and do stuff, engage, play, if you will. And Jessica, you are one of the people who helps coordinate this program, and you're here to talk about the impending doom of budget cut. No.
Well, actually, we already passed that. For the past 5 years, we were always on, you know, on the thin line, whether we were going to be remained open or due to budget cuts, we were going to be totally eliminated. As of November 17th.
We're talking to you, so I'm assuming you weren't totally eliminated.
No.
No, that's good.
That's good. That's good.
Unless this was pre-recorded.
No, it's live. And it's raining today, so.
Okay, there's proof.
So, November 17th, when the state of California wanted to eliminate this program, there was a lawsuit that said it violated the American Disabilities Act. So it went on to court in Sacramento, and they decided that it does violate the rights of adults with disability, any type of person with a disability. So they said, okay, we're going to work something out. So the criteria changed, and the name will change. So starting March 1st, we won't be called Adult Day Healthcare. It's going to be called Community-Based Adult Services, which the criteria opened mm-hmm. to a more broader population.
Like it, just the way you mm-hmm. said it.
The community.
Community, exactly. It's not just going to be based for adults with impaired mobility. It's also going to be for adults 18
and over.
Have
you ever seen me dance, by the way?
No,
I probably meet impaired mobility criteria already.
So, you know, so now it's the criteria open. You just don't have to have a physical impairment.
And it doesn't have to be seniors. You just said it right now, 18 and over.
18 and over. What is considered adults here in the United
States.
So
who can't go? I mean.
Well, the criteria.
You?
No, 18 and over. Hello?
No, but I mean, you.
Got that trumped.
Well, your dancing is impaired. But.
Yeah, let me get his physician's information, and then maybe his physician can know if can let me know if he qualifies for the program mm-hmm. or not. But you know, there are four criterias that automatically makes an individual eligible for the services. One is if they receive MSSP, which is the Multi-Senior Services Program. Mm-hmm. The second one is if they receive any case management from behavioral health.
Mm-hmm. That's us.
Yes, exactly. And what happened was that last year we were getting a lot of referrals from case managers from behavioral health. But unfortunately, you know, those patients didn't qualify for our program because they didn't meet the criteria of having a physical impairment. Mentally, they weren't capable of, you know, being totally independent. So what the state said, no, well, they can do things on their own physically.
Right.
So now it's more, the state is looking more on the mental side.
The broader scope of disability.
Exactly. And the third is they have to have 195 hours or more of in-home support services.
Per?
per month.
Okay.
Yeah, per month. Okay. And now I was thinking,
that's,
I was reading,
that's a lot,
that's
by
a
way.
Lot.
That's, yeah, well, if you really think about it, if there's this, a person with a severe illness and they can't do anything, they're total dependent on somebody, 195 hours is not really a lot. If you
It's
divide
like 8-hour day, though, right?
Yeah. Kind of. If you divide that into 30.
A little bit less. 6-7 hour day.
6-7 hour day.
7 days a week. For a month. That's
for a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends how.
So, does other criteria or there's another?
There's the other one. It's also the, you know, having a physical disability. Those are the ones that automatically
so
qualify someone
any
for
of
a
those,
program.
One of those four, you don't have to have all four.
Do you have
one of them.
Just one of them?
Just
okay.
one of them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise that home health care one would rule out, like,
everybody.
Everyone.
Almost, I mean,
most. But now with the what I was reading on the Sunday newspaper is that there's going to be a 20% cut on in-home support services. So
they're still cutting it.
Yeah, they're still cutting it. So this is when, you know, our program is out there. So, you know, if you have, example, 60 hours a month of in-home support services, now you would might want to think about, you know, enrolling in our program so that those 60 hours a month, which would be about 2 hours a day to provide care for a person, you can extend it to maybe, you know, providing care for that person in the afternoon. Since our program is open from 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday.
So what kind, we've heard the criteria. Oh, 337-8874 is the phone number. We're here today with Jessica Martinez, who's a social worker for the Adult Day Out program, which is soon to be called the community-based
Adult Services.
Adult Services. Thank
CBAS.
You knew
oh,
it.
Oh, the community-based Adult Services.
CBAS. There you go.
Okay.
Now, is this Chilean CBAS, or is this something from San Felipe, or?
I would say probably something from Acapulco.
Nice. It's like got the Luis Miguel stamp of approval or something.
I know. Look at him.
All right. So, what we heard the criteria. Who walks in the door? What types of conditions end up being best suited for this type of environment?
For this new criteria.
For this new criteria, actually, it's anybody. Okay, this is the process. Anybody that is referred by their physician, actually, or you can call and say, hey, you know what, I want more information on the program. Our program, it's composed of seven different therapeutic activities. First, we have what we call the occupational and therapy. So we provide occupational therapy for all of our patients. We provide physical therapy for all of our patients. We provide social services as well as therapeutic activities, which is at the activity director that he's in charge of doing all the activities on the floor. Also, we have nurses there. We have registered nurses at our center. We have two at the moment. We have one LVN. We also have psychological services. So we do have a psychologist. We have the registered dietitian as well. And if a person is in need of speech therapy, we also provide speech therapy. We also provide transportation, which is a big deal within our community. So our population varies. We have patients from, you know, who suffered a CVA, which is a stroke.
Yeah, help a cardiovascular accident.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good.
I'm getting older. I'm kind of reading up on this stuff now.
We also have patients that suffer from depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar, Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's
disease. So all the mental health stuff. But then the cognitive-based disorders also.
Okay.
And then Parkinson's is a kind of movement-based disorder.
Yeah.
The brain.
I mean, we have so many people with those impairments. Are you expecting an increase, an influx, or how many can you hold, or how many do you have right now?
As of now, we have 108 patients, but they vary. And it's determined by the state how many days they will attend the program. Most of our patients are 5 days.
Based on how much problem you have?
Yes, based on how much problem you have and based on every department, which is 7 departments, we create what we call a care plan. So that care plan I sent to the state of California to Medi-Cal. Because remember, this program is paid through Medi-Cal.
Mm-hmm. Daily show rate. I mean, daily. So a person walks in the door, you get X number of dollars for that person.
Yes, but they have to stay a minimum of 4 hours in the program. So I always
A day?
Mm-hmm. Depending on the days that they qualify for.
Okay.
So it gets pretty hairy around the three-hour, 50-minute mark when people are trying to leave, huh? It's like, nope, the door is locked. It will not open up for 10 minutes. Sorry.
No, actually, they stay there for, minimum is 4 hours, but most of our clients stay there for the maximum of 6-7 hours.
Because it's fun.
It's fun. And besides, you know, their families are the ones that provide the primary
and
care
and
for
are
them.
Not coming to pick them up.
Exactly, because they're at work. So, but, you know, they love being there. You know, we try to provide a family environment for them, you know, a very comfortable environment where they can feel free to...
You become family over time,
yeah.
I'm suspecting.
We do. We do. We have clients that have been attending the program for 8-9 years, and they just, they love it. But we are expecting for our population to grow, for our participants at our center to grow. But it all varies.
So you guys were worrying about being eliminated.
Exactly.
And this court case came and now you're worried about having to buy a new building to expand?
Are you going to do some changes? Because if you're doing this influx of opening up the criteria for 18 and over, and right now you're only holding...
Bunches and bunches.
No. And I'm holding... right now you're providing services to seniors, right? Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Correct.
Now. How are you going to make sure that an 18 or a 19 or a 20 year, one of those, what you call the TAPE population.
Transition age youth.
Feel welcome and comfortable. Here they come walking a 20-year-old and they see older people.
Because like 20-year-olds are like so uncool that they don't recognize the cool of a 7-year-old. Or something.
Yeah. Actually, that's why every 2 weeks we gather on an MDT meeting. So because we are getting patients that are younger and younger. Our youngest patient right now, she's 38. But we are expecting.
Yeah,
so we have to develop a different type of therapeutic activities for them because we can't compare having. An activity for
dominoes.
dominoes or bingo. We can have it, for the same for a 50-year-old and a 20-year-old. That's the age difference. But the good thing is that, we have young social workers working there and activity director that has, a spirit of a 15-year-old.
So you're up to the cool challenge.
We love the challenge. We love the challenge. And it's just rewarding to, when you see a client walking up to the door and that it's going to be, a very, very challenged person. But then, as the months go by and you see the progress, you see the difference in their... in their attitude and their physical mobility. It's just very rewarding that, you were up for the challenge. You are still working with that client and with the family. And, you are going to see some positive progress. But we are working in developing, different, having a mixture mm-hmm. of different activities for.
Well, and we can break that down after the break. I thought, going into break, here's what I hear. I hear that you guys are providing services and support for them, but you just light up when you're talking about spending. What is the gift they give to you? What brings you in there working in that environment every day? And what's the magic of this population for you?
For me, I'm going to be very honest. I
suspect it is.
when I was going to school for social work, I always told my professors, please, as an intern, don't put me at, a senior citizens hall. I don't want to work with the elderly
with
population.
The unhip, frankly.
Yeah, with the uncool population. So, you know, my focus was I want to work with CPS or APS. But when I came back to Imperial Valley and I applied for this position, I said, okay, let me give it a try. And I see it as, you know, they are being kids. I see them as, you know, as children at times, because most people don't value, you know, the life of an elderly person. They said, well, they already lived their lives. What else can we offer to them?
Well, and we don't see much of that. We forget that they may have things that they can teach us or show us.
And we forget that we'll be like that one of those these days.
Exactly. Exactly. We always tend to care for a baby and for children. But, you know, when it comes to for an elder person, we always put them, kind of push them to the side. And, you know, it's just, I learn from them every day. Every day that I have a one-on-one or an intervention with one of my participants, I learn from them, even, you know, their past experiences. They just, you know, want somebody to talk to, somebody that can, somebody they can relate to, or they just want a listening ear. Mm-hmm. Or most of our clients, they do live on their own. The family has abandoned them. And, you know, coming to the center for, you know, five, 6 hours.
They
can socialize. They make friends. And they always, you know, come to us, hey, Jessica, you know what, today I wasn't feeling that well. I'm feeling depressed. Oh, so why is that? And everything comes back to the lack of care. And most of our clients, you know, and I've had when we were on this elimination process, we had...
You said it traumatically, by the way.
You know what it was? Very. I mean...
Yeah, I heard it.
Imagine just...
And you know what? Our clients were receiving letters through the mail.
Because your relationships are the relationships that are keeping them alive. How's that?
Yes. And so
connected.
They do feel connected. And it's just, you know, it's just rewarding to... Every day at 7 in the morning, walking into the center, seeing our clients and the smile on their faces. Hey,
they
good
love
morning.
You. They're yeah. really glad
and
to
you know
see
what?
You.
I love them. We're not, yes. you know, they always teach us, you know, oh, okay, keep it professional at school. Keep it professional, mm-hmm. ethical. But, you know.
Gratitude slips under the cracks, doesn't it?
It does. So, you know, it's just hard to. You do have to keep boundaries, but it's hard not to, you know,
So you haven't adopted them. They're not all coming home with you at the end of the day?
Well, I have already adopted a couple. They just don't know. No, but, you know, it's just rewarding, the whole just working there. And it's not just a bingo hall. You know, you see that a person that couldn't, you know, walk, that was wheelchair-bound, you know, has been in the program for 10, 11 months, and they're making progress.
And they're walking. And
now they're walking.
With
the help of of the therapy aid. But it's just so rewarding, and just to see the smile on their face, because basically they never had hope. And
they've given that up.
Exactly. They've given that up.
Hope is very important.
It is.
Okay, so I hope we take a break. No, we're going to go to break now. Sorry, that was like awkward. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley. We're having a really interesting discussion on adult day out activities and with Jessica Martinez. And we'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to your weekly wellness radio. Let's Talk About It for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys.
We love that song as much as NPR, by the way.
So. I know. I heard it on NPR the other day. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUVO 88.7. And our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And don't forget the 760 in the front.
Ever. You know, is that's like a habit now, huh?
Yeah. 760.
Remember when it was just starting and it was like,
I know, everybody was like,
oh,
I can't
do that.
And
get the person
that.
The recording saying, I'm sorry, you need to dial the error code. And
I know.
Like, oh, you guys discriminate against
us. It's never going to happen. You know, I'm not going to get used to it.
The rest of the world still dials seven numbers. You know, it's easy to forget that, you know, like the rest of the world didn't have to make this change. We did.
Because we're in Imperial Valley and in San Diego is bigger and beat us.
They give us extra benefits for living here because it's such a wonderful place. Ha. Got them beat. Oh, and don't forget to catch us on the podcast. You know, podcasts aren't eternal because there's like a bottom of the list. And every time we throw up one more great show at the bottom goes into space. So until we get an eternal podcast list, Jessica will only be around for, say, 3 months or so.
Unless you can download it or...
Yes, you could download it and save it and
keep it
and make it
fill
for
up your
months.
Hard drives with
forever.
Let's Talk About It. Sweetness. Okay, we're back. Jessica Martinez is a social worker for the Adult Day Out program, which is becoming the community-based adult...
Services,
that's what I thought. Because of a recent court ruling that dodged the bullet of having Adult Day Out shut down permanently and, in fact, expanded the population served to include all sorts of disabilities.
But it's still facing some cuts.
Yes, I'm sure.
The 20%.
The gauntlet continues.
Well, the 20%, it's more for...
In-home.
For the in-home support services for IHSS.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
they're like
you're
the step.
Safe.
Like,
yeah, for now.
Well, in-home's like the stepchild for two reasons. One being it's huge. It's like prison guard huge, in terms of spending. The other being it has some organization, but clearly not a lot because they're paid so little that they can't afford a powerful union. Ooh, you know, there you go. So, and that's how politics works. Okay, 337-8874, Adult Day Out Center. Jessica Martinez, social worker, call us. You've got a program that had seven different, I think you mentioned, a treatment
activities
plan.
Activities or teams.
With seven different
teams.
Components, yes.
Yes. The first one that I'm going to start with, it's the occupational therapy. And that is, the occupational therapist develops a plan.
Is that
a
like a job?
Plan. Yeah, it's a job. It's actually through Gayla Strong. She's her occupational therapist. And she develops a treatment plan for each client. And occupational therapist is from the waist up. So everything that has to do with the arms, she develops a different care plan
so
for the individual.
So is a type of physical therapy based on moving towards occupational...
Well, we also have physical therapists, and that is Dr. Terry
McMain.
So what is occupational therapy?
Yeah, what is occupational?
Occupational therapy is from the waist up. So everything that has to do with the arm movement, with the torso, anything... That has to do with just
with
moving.
It's I guess the question is because occupational, we think employment.
Oh.
So, yeah.
you in your car is listening, you missed it because Jessica did this little wave thing with her arms that was like pure 1980s. It was sweet. I thought she was going to do a hammer time, but it was the waist up.
No, and now I can do the hammer time. It's from the waist down. That's physical therapy.
Oh, okay.
So physical therapy has to do with, doing what we call the bars for people for balance, for anything that has to do with the legs.
Like and parallel bars? Or
yeah, it's the parallel
like
bars.
Like the ones on the wall, like a ballet studio? Or
No, it's the parallel walls.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the parallel bars. And it's mostly for clients that, well, all of our clients have to do physical and occupational therapy. That's part of the program, and that's why most of our clients attend to the program.
Because all of our bodies need to move.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it's maintenance therapy. And so it prevents from your body movement to deteriorate. And then, so each client is assessed by the occupational and physical therapy. So each one, they have to develop what kind of exercises they will assign to
tailored,
the client.
Individually tailored.
Exactly. And then we have what we call the psychologist. The psychologist, that is Dr. Gary Hiddle, he has a list of, so anything that has a mental disorder, schizophrenia, bipolar, anxiety, depression, he treats them. So he also has to develop we all have to develop a treatment plan. And then we have the activity director.
We're the mental health people. I can't help but ask. It's my nature. So what kind of treatment do they get for their psychological stuff?
And for their psychological, it's the one-on-one.
So they get talk therapy.
They get talk therapy. They get the one-on-one, and they also we need to make referrals. Most of we also make referrals to your agency to behavioral health
for psychiatric medication or something.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we have the activity director. That is Michael Hernandez. Michael, he is in charge of developing treatment plans also for each client for therapeutic activities, depending on their mobility, depending on the ability.
So no basketball?
No.
For some. For this new generation
of
people.
Could be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's true for the young ones.
Did you hear that, Michael? Maybe basketball.
I was thinking prison yard with weights and, you know.
No.
Clink, clink, clink.
And then we have social services, which is the social workers. It's Guadalupe Acosta and myself. We are the two social workers on site. And we also develop a treatment plan. How are we going to address the needs of our clients? How are we going to go about it? What are we going to do?
What types of deficits in your area, then, do you normally see?
Mostly of ours, it's more the depression. More the lack of...
So lack of connection with other people, lack of friends.
Yes, the lack of family support.
Poor self-esteem type stuff.
Lack of, you know, knowing that, you know, there are resources available in the community. We are in charge of providing, we arranging transportation for our clients, the meals. If they need to... You know, get to a doctor's appointment, recall and verify. Anything that that has to do with social services, mm-hmm. we do it.
That's busy.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. And we also do one-on-one interventions. We also do the crisis intervention. We also do the one-on-one sessions.
Do they ever, like, come to you and say, hey, stop spending so much money? Because a lot of that stuff you described costs money.
No, because actually it's just one rate for the whole day.
Right.
And, you know, we don't go over.
What, yeah, I was going to say, what if your costs exceed their rate? You know?
We don't go over. So, you know, and then we have occupational, physical, psychologically.
Activities.
Social work. We have the registered nurses, which is Melissa Irales right now.
Straight up healthcare, baby.
Huh. Oh, yes. Okay. Everything has to do with diabetics, insulin. Medication.
As we know, as we get older, we get, you know, our bodies are getting deteriorated and we sometimes need medical intervention.
You know, that's kind of, if you buy into that, sure, I guess so, but
yeah,
you don't have to.
Things wear, okay? Just like your car, things get worn out.
yeah.
And no, when a heart and an older...
I produce new cells every day, okay?
Sorry, that doesn't work.
So she gets to do the good stuff, all the medication administration. Doctor's appointment, she gets in contact with the physicians, with the family, making sure that the clients are compliant, wound care, they also do that. And they are also in charge of making sure that when the family requests that a client, because we also bathe, we also mm-hmm. provide showers at our center, that everything's done. They supervise basically it's the main core. Also, we have our registered dietitian. Our registered dietitian, he's the one that makes the menu for the center, and everything's low sodium, no sugar.
How many meals a day do you roll out?
Two. We provide breakfast and lunch, and then a snack. So it's breakfast, lunch, and snack.
So low sodium, no sugar.
Low sodium, actually no sodium.
Elementary school cafeteria food without the salt.
Exactly.
And sugar.
But you know what? The majority of our clients, they're diabetic and
okay,
high blood pressure.
You're like an adult. Do you ever like snag their food because it tastes good? or is it like, whoa, I'm going out to eat? Or, you know, I brought a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because the lasagna just doesn't work.
They're actually used to it, but no. Employees
take
our own lunch. But we should be following, you know, their diet, because we are going to be getting into that age soon. But yeah,
Scott is a sooner.
And you can tell my denial levels like this much higher than yours.
And then we have a staff of you know, a total of 25 people. We have from CNAs, which is certified
nurses.
That's
fairly big.
Yeah. To therapy aides, program aides, and then we have an area where you know, we have the Alzheimer's and dementia patients, which it's more the one-on-one with them, and everything is overseen.
Oh, because everybody's got their own kind of staffing ratio based on their diagnosis and their condition and their plan.
Yes.
And some people might be one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We have, actually, we have in the Alzheimer's area, we have around 18, 19 clients.
With Alzheimer's?
So, with Alzheimer's and dementia. And so...
They get, those get, you know, more difficult.
Yes. Yes, it's more, you have to be very patient with them. It's a lot of redirecting and prompting. And then everything is overseen by our program director, Maribel Mendez. So she's the one that calls the shots.
All right, so you're, on March 1st, your service range is, your service range is staying the same. Your capacity for people getting into your system is expanding. You've already got 108. You got 25 people working there. That's a fairly, unless you've got a huge facility, that's a fairly busy place.
It is, and every day is just the day.
So we're going to send you another 1,000 people. How's
no, where are you located currently?
We are located here in El Centro at 757 West Main Street. And
are you walking back to work?
Yes.
We're right down the street here, huh?
Yeah, I'm only two blocks away. So I am walking back to work, and... we are actually March 1st. We are changing the name. It's still going to be Day Out, but it's going to be Community-Based Adult Services. So after that, right as of now, we are a for-profit organization, and we have 6 months to change to a nonprofit organization. It's still going to be paid through Medi-Cal.
If you need a place to put all those profits,
call you.
Please.
Okay.
In the meantime.
Why the change? Because of the regs, or they had to change?
Because of the regulations. And so we have 6 months. We have until September, October 1st to go ahead and be a nonprofit organization. And anybody that's interested in our program, or, you know, enrolling their mother, their father, their husband, their wife, their son, their daughter, themselves, they can go ahead and give us a call at 760-337-8393.
And I think it says, as we know, is that as our parents getting older, a lot of the kids are not taking care of their parents. And it's nice to know that there's a place that while they're working, instead of mom or dad staying home by themselves alone at the house in front of a TV, you know.
Like my kids, you mean?
Yeah, like your kids. Now they can go someplace.
Yeah, and it's not that, you know, as children we don't want to provide, you know, care for our parents. It's just we're working, like you said, we're working.
No, ideally your parents require full-time care the day after you retire, right? So that way you can just stop working and then start changing diapers and making sure your electrical stuff's
turned
off.
Well, even if you don't work, even if the kids are not working and taking care of their parents, the kids... You know, who are also adults, also need a break.
Yeah, and that's
to do their shopping or pay bills, do errands.
Or just the respite.
You don't fit in my designer purse, Ma. Sorry.
Because what we usually think is that, okay, our parents are adults. They can take care of themselves. They don't need that much, you know, care.
Isn't there an iceberg or something they can just get on and go away?
No.
Scott, that's old school, huh?
Are you going to do that with your parents?
That's always like the in the range of possibility, just to keep them like.
That's gonna happen to you.
I hope.
So, you know, and it's we provide respite care for the families. That's a big thing for us, because we know it can get very stressful.
But it's got to be 4 hours.
Minimum 4 hours, right. But I always tell the family.
And they want as much as they can get.
Yeah,
so
I tell.
I'm sure that's okay.
Yeah, I tell the family. If you need to have, you know, your relative here more than 4 hours, go ahead and do it. Do it, you know. That's what we're here for. Use us, basically. And so, and they do. Most of our clients stay in the program for 5 to 6 hours, sometimes 7 hours.
Do you anticipate a big influx of people on March 1st? Like a line out the door or something?
Not on March 1st, but I think
as people know,
I know we'll be enrolling more clients. And right now we have an average of 82.
Which means I bet you're plenty busy.
Yes.
How much room do you have? Are we looking at waiting
lists? The capacity is for 90.
Yeah.
And so we have 108, but they vary. Some of them come only three times a week. Some of them come 5 days a week. So it varies. We have an average of 82.
And can people stay there for as long as they want? You know, they say they come in this year and they stay for the next 10 years.
As long as it's medically necessary.
Exactly. As long as it's medically necessary. You've been paying attention, Scott.
No, we share parallel universe.
So, as long as they need our services and they can stay there for as long as they want. And the good thing about this is that it's not like a convalescent. You get to come into the center, spend the day, and you get to go home.
It's a day of activities,
it's
not
a
day
of activities. Mm-hmm.
Hanging out.
Exactly. It's a day of activities.
Do we ever get to play dominoes? I mean,
well, yeah. Tell me about a little bit about the activities.
Okay, so throughout the day, you know, our clients start getting into our center at 7:10 in the morning. They get dropped off, and they eat breakfast. And as the day goes by,
oatmeal with no sugar.
Oatmeal with no sugar
and dry toast.
And
whole wheat.
You know what? It varies. It varies. It's just not oatmeal. They have really good breakfast.
But it is sometimes.
Yeah, it is sometimes.
Hey, oatmeal's delicious.
We have our participants asking, hey, what's going on with the menudo? Where's, you know, the chilaquiles?
You know, menudo without salt just doesn't work.
So throughout the day on the floor, Michael, he's the activity director, he's in charge of doing therapeutic activities with them. Some of them are in the therapy department doing their occupational maintenance therapy, while some people are on the floor. And what they do is they do the exercises, they do activities.
Zumba.
I would love to do Zumba.
Maybe for the younger ones.
Maybe for the younger ones. Do you want to be one of our instructors?
No. That would be my mobility disability thing.
So, They do, you know, activities that help them with their, with their mobilities, with their coordination and their concentration, because most of our clients have poor concentration. And it's not, and it's because they're too focused.
Like Simon Says. Simon Says would be perfect, right? Because, you know, that keeps you dialed in. Simon Says, touch your hand to your shoulder. Bam. Got it. Touch your hand to your other shoulder. Ooh, you're out.
So,
but stuff like that, or what?
It's stuff like that. Some people take their dominoes and they play dominoes. Some people, you know, they knit.
Which requires concentration. Oh, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Concentration and coordination.
Skip a stitch and you've got a problem.
Yeah. So most of our clients do that. They knit. They play dominoes. Some of them are just, you know, going from table to table, waiting their turn to go ahead and do therapy, and you know, that's what I encourage them, what we, you know, motivate them to do, go in and develop your social skills, because most of them lack that. And it just varies. There's different activities, you know, just like for Valentine's Day, we had a Valentine's Day party for them.
Do people meet there and start dating? Is this a
karaoke?
We do have karaoke
element
for them.
To this?
Yes, we have had people.
Did they get married?
Let me see. No, but they've been dating for a long time.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, we have couples there, and they celebrated their 40th wedding anniversary there. So it's nice. I mean, they don't get married.
That's so retro. Oh, no.
What do you mean?
At 40, you know, by the time, like, this generation grows up, 40 years of marriage is probably going to be like, yeah, remember back when they used to do stuff like that?
And my parents celebrated 53, so.
Yeah. We'll see. Our generation's going to skip a beat, but the next generation's probably going to, like, throw out the song. On to the next thing, huh?
On the next thing.
So, I mean, it's that's a good thing is it's a place that they can socialize. And, you know, some of them have found love.
Love.
Mm-hmm. But no kissing rules,
love,
right?
You know, hey.
No,
but you know what?
No kissing.
But you know what? But love is very important.
Like junior high.
Yeah, no holding hands. No. No kissing, no touching. But
what about the couples? The ones that go there. Can they kiss?
No, because it can make everybody else want to kiss.
Actually, they're not very lovey-dovey. They get there and, okay, well, I'm going to go and talk to my, you know, to my friends. And,
yeah, that's
you know,
old
the wife
school,
would
too.
Say, yeah,
that's
and the wife school. Would say, okay, well, I'm just going to sit here and knit.
Yeah, no PDAs, public displays of affection.
No, no PDAs. And then we also provide, every third Wednesday of the month, we also provide support groups for the families.
That's coming right up, isn't it? Or was that yesterday?
The 22nd.
Sweet.
On the 22nd.
What does that look like?
We have family members, and right now we have 11 members, 11 family members that come in, and they get to vent their
families.
Wait,
I'm doing the math here. You've got 108 people and 11 family members. Where'd all the rest of them go?
Working.
Yeah, working.
Some of them might have employers that do not give them access to go and do the support group. So you have to think about that.
And we've tried, you know, doing the different hours, you know, after work from 6 to 8. But you got to understand they have to go
homework, dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and ultimately even respite because they may be, you know, taking care of that person too.
Yeah, but even though we do the support group once a month and, you know, social workers are in charge of coordinating that, we also do the one-on-one sessions with the family members, which is almost every day.
Okay, good. That's nice. Because ultimately, I think part of, you know, it's funny because there's a support group, but I need so much support that I can't go.
Exactly. You know? And they can call us. You know, they call us and say, hey, I really need to talk. Okay, what's going on?
And that happens more.
Yeah, that happens more. Yeah. That happens more than having somebody.
Easier access as much.
Exactly. So, and, you know, our mission is to, you know, promote the well-being for our clients, but also for the family. Because if we have somebody that's so overwhelmed with providing care for their father, for their mother.
They get grouchy.
Yeah. And that's when, you know, the abuse starts and the neglect. So we try to, you know, prevent all that. And we always tell them, we're here. Call us.
Throw out that number one more time. It fits right here.
It's 760-337-8393.
And if they say they heard it and Let's Talk About It, they'll get a free T-shirt with, like, your logo on it.
No, they just get really good service.
They get really excellent service.
Okay. And you're located right here?
Yes, we're located on 757 West Main Street in El Centro, right in front of what used to be Furniture Palace.
Okay.
Next to Center for Family Solutions.
All right. Beat a path. Tell them Jessica sent you.
Yeah.
Jessica, thanks for coming.
Thank you so
today.
Much, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me here, and I had so much fun.
I'm going to make some referrals March 1st.
Yes.
And continued success and joy from your group. Give them our love, too.
Tell them
we felt them in the room today.
And if anybody wants to go into the center, you don't need an appointment. If you want to see it for yourself, you're more than welcome to just walk in and say, hey, I want to check out the center, see if this is maybe suitable for my family member or for, you know, for the client that I'm providing
free
services.
Free tours.
Free tours. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Sweet.
No commitment.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go too.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, okay. From Mario Espinosa. On the board when he's not playing Beatles songs on KXL Radio, and Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley, and our guest Jessica Martinez. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a wonderful weekend.
And keep warm, keep dry.
And catch us on the rebound next Thursday. And drive safely.
Yes.
With your wipers on.
Yes.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.